with me as we get into the word of the Lord today. As you're turning there, as Brother Jonathan said, good to have Sister Shannon's grandmother with us, Mrs. Helen Gillespie. Good to have her. Matt brought her over from Alabama. She said she heard what kind of driver he was, but she doesn't believe it. So he got her here safe and sound. Appreciate that. Matt, good to have Jared, my nephew, here today. And my sister and brother-in-law are in town, but guess they didn't feel like it was worth coming to hear baby brother preach this morning. Now, they got in 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning or so, and they're going to be here this week, so excited about that. I don't hear Shelby, and I don't see her either, so she's somewhere else. They've got her locked up in the back of the church somewhere, but good to see them in the house of the Lord. I saw Joe and Carol back there. Good to see Joe and Carol in the house of the Lord. Amen. Appreciate them being here this morning, and appreciate each and every other one that's visiting. Some I can't call by name, but certainly appreciate you being with us in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's get into the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 100. Psalms chapter 100. Psalms chapter 100 and verse number 4. How'd you know? Hallelujah. Amen. Usually when a minister preaches from a text, you leave it alone for a while. But I don't know, just the last few days, this has kind of been growing. And amen. I just kind of want to talk a little bit about revival, what God has done, and remind us a few things, I believe, of God, what God was speaking to us. And certainly, I believe this verse trumpeted loud throughout revival. Psalms 100 and verse number 4, let's read it together. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Of course, this is Thanksgiving week, and God reminds us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. He also reminds us to be thankful unto him. Amen. I just want to preach to you this morning about reminders from our revival. God bless you as you're seated this morning in the house of the Lord. Amen. The psalmist said again, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful. You know, it would seem as if this would be redundant. You wouldn't think God would have to remind us to be thankful, would you? You would think that it would be a natural overflow of our relationship with him. But throughout God's word, throughout the book of Psalms, and in this passage of scripture as well, God reminds us emphatically to remember to thank him for the good gifts that he has given to the children of men. I don't want to be negligent in that regard. I don't want to be shortcoming in my praise to the Lord. And I believe that's why one of the first reminders that I have for you this morning in revival, from our revival, and that is that God is interested in our worship, that God is interested in our praise. I believe God reminded us of that during revival, because case in point, it is easy for you and I just to come into the house of the Lord, case sarah, sarah, and just to go through the motions. But it is God's word that reminds us over and over, time and time again, that every time that we come to the house of the Lord, every time that we enter his gates, we're to enter with thanksgiving. Not just revival, not just when we're feeling the excitement and the exuberance of God's Spirit, but we have to make a conscious decision. Worship is not an emotion, it's a choice. Sometimes there's a feeling that comes with it, but it is more than a feeling. It is a choice. It is a determination that every time that I go to the house of the Lord, I'm going to worship and I'm going to praise the name of the Lord. And it is God reminding us in this revival that he demands, he deserves, and he delights in our worship. praise. He reminded us through the man of God that it is the dead, that those that do not praise the Lord, but that we which are alive and remain, that we ought to lift up the name of the Lord. Sometimes through the clapping of hands, God reminds us to clap our hands. Sometimes it's not an emotion that makes us do it as much as it is a determination, because the Bible said to clap all ye people, clap your hands unto the Lord. He talks to us about lifting up our voice unto the Lord. He talks about the sacrifice of praise, that it is God reminding his people. I'm not preaching to the unconverted. I'm not preaching to the lost and the unsaved. I'm preaching to the people of God. And God reminds us that every time that we come into his presence, every time that we open the door and come into the house of the Lord, God reminded us in this revival that he demands, he delights, and he deserves our praise. Amen. So understand this. Anything less is out of order. Anything less is unscriptural. Anything else is carnal. Anything else is unspiritual. I said, did you hear me this morning? Amen. Anything less than that is carnal, complacent, and out of order. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in accordance to the word of God. Amen. I want to walk in obedience to the things of God. And I know how some of you are come Friday morning. Some of you that can't stay awake right now at 11:35 are going to be out before the sun comes up Friday morning trying to get a $20 deal for three. I already know it. I won't be there. I'm not interested in bumper traffic, and I'm not interested in all of that. You can have it if you want. I'd pay double just to not have to fight the traffic, to be honest with you. But if that's your cup of tea, have at it. You and the other 100,000 that'll be out there Friday morning. Amen. Oh, that's what some folks get excited about. Some folks get excited about a whole lot of things. Amen. But I believe God thundered down from heaven that in this last day, God is looking for a church. Amen. God is looking for a people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. That it's never out of order to worship. It's never out of order to clap your hands. It's never out of order to shout hallelujah. It's never out of order to worship the name of the Lord. And I would today that we've got those that have made a choice that every time I go to church, I'm going to worship the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm just going to make a choice. I'm going to make a commitment. If nobody else claps a hand, that I'll be the first one to clap my hands. If nobody else will worship, then matter of fact, that word be thankful. It means to extend the hand. It means exaltation. It's a sign of worship. You know what that is right there? I said that's a sign of worship. I don't even have to say anything, but when I wave my hand to the Lord, I mean, it's a sacrifice of praise. It's a sign of worship that God knows, amen, I'm honoring him and magnifying him. Amen. It would do some of you a whole lot of good, amen, to realize that when you come into the house of the Lord, amen, it's not based on feelings. I don't care what kind of day you had yesterday. I don't care what kind of week you had. I don't care what kind of year you had. I don't care what kind of decade you had. I don't care what kind of life you've had. I don't care about any of that, friend. Amen. God said that everything that had breath receives a command, and that is to praise ye the Lord. That you and I do not have a right. I said we don't have a right to come into the house of the Lord and not praise him. He never gives us any excuses. If you've had a bad week, you're okay. If you had a bad, no. He expects his people to step above trial. He expects his people to be mature enough to step above their emotions and realize this is the house of my God. This is the house of my Lord. And I am not praising him for what he has done for me as much as I am worshiping for who he is. There is a difference. At times we can praise him for what he is doing. And oh, we can praise him for the things that he has given to us. And I say hallelujah. But sometimes it seems as if the praise is not there. Well, I'll tell you how to get the praise in gear. Amen. Just begin to think about who he is. Begin to worship who he is. Amen. Worship that he is the high and holy one. That he is the God Almighty. Worship him as the creator and the sovereign ruler. Worship him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You get to worshiping him for who he is. It will not be long. It may be just a few simple words. And suddenly the atmosphere changes. And the presence of God and the fluttering wings of God's angels began to descend and inhabit the worship of his people. And then you began to feel that flood tide of praise and worship. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It was God reminding us that he is a God that is interested in our worship. Number two, the second reminder, I believe as we started revival, the Sunday night before revival, you remember I said that we need to do more than just be a shouting people. We need to do more than just be a rejoicing people. We need to be more than just a singing people. One of our Pentecostal distinctives is what? I said it is speaking in tongues. Amen. Oh yes, friend. I said we are Pentecostal not because we sing and shout and dance and run, but we are Pentecostal because we believe in speaking in tongues. And one of our problems is we get around the altar and we shout and we dance and we stand and say thank God for the Holy Ghost. That was just a measure of the Spirit of God. It was just a little dew drops from heaven, and it was not the infilling of the Spirit of God. But can I remind you, God told us that in Acts chapter number 2 that in the last days he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And in this revival, I said in this revival, on multiple times that God confirmed his word, and they were those that were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it was not just singing and shouting, but they were speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives them utterance. And it is an authentication that Christ was dead but is alive forevermore, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is the baptizer. And he said in John 15, I will send the Spirit unto truth, that there is one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloosen, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I said on Thursday night, I said there was those that were speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hey, Brother Alex on Thursday night, I believe. Brother Shane on Thursday night. Amen. You trying to work in him? No, I'm telling you, I believe this was God confirming his word. It was God reminding us that in the last days, I said in the last days, the devil might be able to imitate a shout. The devil might be able to imitate a dance and a run, an emotion and a circus. But he cannot reproduce and he cannot imitate a last day outpouring of the Spirit of God, where people are slain in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues that they have not ever heard of the glory of God the Father. I said Brother Eddie was speaking in tongues. Hey, Brother Ken was speaking in tongues. Hey, friend, it's not if you've not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that's not to demean your experience in God. But I'm on the flip side, I'm telling you that God's got something greater, that God has something more, that God has an outpouring that is waiting for this end time revival. That if we're the church of Jesus Christ,
that is ready for the coming of the Lord, that we ought to be anticipating. We ought to see more feelings. We ought to see more speaking in tongues. We ought to see more of a move of the Holy Ghost. God reminded us. The third thing that God reminded us. September, I was preaching to you. He brought us out to take us in. In that message, I said that there comes those sporadic, random, divine appointments. When God takes you to a place to move forward. And if you do not move forward at that moment, you can't come back at your own choosing. Just to pick up when you want. It may take you a generation wandering in the wilderness to get back to that same point, that we cannot turn God on like a light switch, that we don't control him like we will. But did you hear the man of God stand up last week and say that we have touched into something special? I said he may have said it differently, but the Spirit of God was saying the same thing, that we are at a pivotal moment, that we're at a special time, that God is ready to do something fresh, and God is ready to do something new. And I say, take me, Lord. I say, take me, Lord. I said, oh God, amen, in this end time, pour out of your Spirit. Let the flood tides of the Holy Ghost just rush for every heart and just erupt the presence of the Lord. I felt that hard in my spirit. We just can't come back when we want. You just can't do it. Hey, Courtney, I meant to say it's good to see you. There was somebody else I was looking for, and I saw Courtney before church this morning. She's standing up. Hallelujah. 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 How many want to go forward in God? I said, how many want to go forward in the Lord? Hallelujah. How many want more of God and not less? Amen. I enjoyed a revival of those that were filled with the Holy Ghost, but I enjoyed seeing some of the elders. I said, some of the elders that were being blessed in God. And what did Acts chapter number 2 tell us? That in the last days, saith God, he said what? He said, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He said, your young men shall see visions. Your young men shall see visions. Amen. I don't want to call any names. I don't embarrass them. I'll overlook somebody. But yesterday, Brother Greg's class, there was a bunch of those that were here working on the church. They went out yesterday on visitation. Then they come by and worked several hours. I was here for a couple hours while they were out in the fellowship hall working. Hey, and then no pastor got up and said, hey, we need some volunteers. I said, it was the Spirit of God. I said, it was the Holy Ghost that says, hey, let's get involved. Let's work for the church. Amen. Let's work. Let's do something for God. Isn't it amazing? Amen. When the Spirit of God comes into your life, you start seeing all kinds of ample opportunities. Brother Nelson said 5 teams yesterday on visitation. I said, that's the Spirit of God. When they were baptized in the upper room, it went spilling outside into the city. I said, that's the true move of God. When it spills out onto the job and to the family, when it moves out among the people of our community, I say, thank God for his Spirit. The fourth reminder, God is going to have a generation that'll take up the mantle. God will have a generation that'll take up the mantle. And I speak the next 2 or 3 minutes, not just as a preacher, but as the pastor. We're at a pivotal, pivotal point in our church. That young generation is not just teenagers that are randomly shouting. You're old enough now to bear up under the mantle of responsibility. You're old enough now to crawl upon the shoulders of the preceding generation and to now build something greater. Some of our elders have spent their life They've given their money. They've built the buildings. And they now are at that time of life to where they're encouraging you. But they do not have the physical strength to carry it forward. But they are your cheerleaders. They are telling you to run in God. I'm challenging this generation. Hey, those that stood the other day, the families that stood around the front. And Brother Gray's class, I'm challenging this generation to begin to dream dreams that the other generations could not. They have put you to this point. 100 years ago, we might have been a ragtag group of people. Amen. Just a bunch of random people. But God has so refined it in the last 100 years that we've got some things in place. That God has put key people and key things together in this last generation. And they have promoted this generation. I said, young people, they've elevated you. And they've put you in a place to where you can build more and do more and take it higher and go further for the glory of Jesus Christ. I challenge you. Don't drop the ball. Don't lose it. Don't fumble it. Don't give it up. Don't compromise it. Don't sell it out. Don't turn back. Don't sell out. But get up under the mantle and say, let's go. In the last days, young men shall dream visions. They'll prophesy. They'll speak in tongues. Do it, God, now in this last day. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God reminded us he's interested in evangelism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How about it? How about it? Well, the church looks pretty full. We're doing all right. That's exactly the wrong mentality. Let's make room for new people. If the choir has to sit on the platform on Sundays to make room for 40 new people in the congregation, I say hallelujah to the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. It might be your son. It might be your daughter. It might be a marriage that God puts back together again. But I know God is interested in his church. Hallelujah. 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 If we've got to sit out chairs on the end of the pews, we'll do it. Hallelujah. You may not like the person you're sitting on the pew with, but if we could scrunch together, you may not get an end cap pew. You may have to slide to the middle. The little end cap may not be there to keep you from falling out. You might have to learn to sit upright in the middle of a pew to make room for a family that's coming in with a few children that want to hear about Jesus. I said, do we have the answer? The answer is Jesus. Hallelujah. Do it, God. Do it, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever. Whatever we've got to do. There's some people that need to come in and see this. There's some people. I told my wife the other night, and I know we take the Spirit of God for granted, but I'm serious. Do you realize there are people that have lived their entire life, went to church faithfully, and never felt, witnessed what we did during this revival? Think about it. People their entire life and never felt God like we did in this meeting. I had a man stop me last Sunday. Drives a long way to come to church. Said, I have to come. My church doesn't have this. I'm not throwing stones at another church. I'm just telling you this. There's a reason. There's something that they're yearning for and looking for. And the facade and the shallow, easy believism of come away and leave the same as not getting the job done. We have the true, genuine fullness of the Spirit of the living God. I've got faith that if a drug addict comes in here, there's enough God in this building to set them free. I've got enough faith in God that if a drunk comes in this morning, I said God can set them free. I believe if a home is in trouble, there's enough God in this building. Their home could be changed forever by the presence and the glory of God. In the last days, God said, I need a church. I need a church. I need a group of people that I can visit. I need a tabernacle that I can bless with my glory. And I'm saying, it's us. It's us. It's us. It's us. Right here. This tabernacle. This sanctuary. My family. This preacher. Pour it out, God. Hallelujah. That's your prayer. Come on and lift your hands toward heaven. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, let's stand this morning and lift our hands toward heaven and say, God, God, would you bless our church? God, would you bless our church? God, would you bless our church? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoa, God bless our church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.